Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 6, episode 46. My name is Tim Andrews, joined as always by Dustin Lawler, Stephanie Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
Jeff Leboff. Lots to talk about, lots to get to, lots of things to discuss this week on our weekly episode. First of all, I want to thank Michael H. Cole for coming on the show for our Radio Labyrinth Presents Interviews segment. I thought that was a lot of fun. I think he's an interesting cat, and I hope we have him back on. If you missed it, check it out, because we got this wonderful little story about Barry Corbin and War Games, because he worked with Barry Corbin on Better Call Saul when they shot it out in where do they shoot that? In New Mexico, right?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah. And of course, he talked all about acting and the craft of acting, teaching and coaching and working on a lot of different sets with a lot of different people. You'll recognize him if you watch the YouTube video from a lot of different TV shows. So check it out. Go ahead.
He's named after his uncle.
That's right. Michael Cole, who is one of the stars of Mod Squad. And in fact, the only member of the Mod Squad who is still with us, as we lost Peggy Lipton. And then the other guy, what was his name? Because I don't have a lot of brain power, because my brain gets used up throughout the day. You know, starting in the morning on WSB radio from 9 to noon every day, the Von Hessler Doctrine. And then, you know, lack of napping and driving all over 285 like I did today to go to the doctor to have my rash checked out.
What kind of rash do you have?
He says it could be lots of different things. Make sure you check your detergent if you have changed it, or maybe stop taking this medicine that I prescribed to you before that I never had a problem with. But here are some creams. And so I'm getting a steroid and all that shit.
Where
so,
is the rash?
It's on my balls. No, it's on my leg. My lower it's, legs.
It's poison ivy, if you ask me.
How would you know it's poison ivy?
Because I looked at it.
Yeah, that's true. I had Dr. Jeff examine it.
You never let Jeff look at your leg before you went to the doctor.
Yeah, Jeff knows best.
I made him disrobe. I did the...
Did you always do that?
The finger test?
I thought that's just how you said hello, Jeff.
Cough. I don't know why, but I let him do it. I guess he likes it. Let's see. We have all sorts of things. Yeah, we're done talking about my rash. We have all sorts of guests lined up for our weekly guest interview segment. And next up on the docket, I guess you call that, is Zach Lampla from the movie. He's a director and co-writer of a very funny independent movie that I watched, and I hope everybody takes time to watch. It's called 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind, and it's a very good parody of the Vice-style documentary, and it'll make you laugh at least once. I laughed more than once. In fact, I laughed a lot in the first 5 minutes. Did any of you guys watch it yet?
I started it, but I haven't got too deep into it. The dude looks very familiar, though. I think we may have met him that day we visited the set of Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell.
Well, I don't think he's in it. I just think he's a director.
He plays the camera guy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I sent him a friend request on Facebook, and he looks familiar to me.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a real fun film. So you watched it, Dustin?
Yeah, I watched it, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was Compound was a really cool, Vice analogy.
Like how they gave the news show to the rapper.
Yeah, he became the correspondent in Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Over him. Yeah, he just kept getting turned down. It was funny. I mean, all the little little subtle stuff in it is hilarious. I mean, it's one of those that I've watched it. I watched it twice. So I watched it when you first sent it, and then I watched it again last night.
Cool. I'm gonna watch it again Friday night, so I'm familiar with it when we do the interview. So yeah, if you're interested in watching, just Google it. Again, it's called 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind. You can rent it on Amazon Prime. It's streaming there right now. We have Maka Pohatu. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And Jeff lined that up for us. He's from a very popular show that just started streaming and airing in the United States called Wellington Paranormal by the people who do, Jeff?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, it's produced and directed by, and I don't know if it's directed, but it's pretty much produced by
Taika Waititi and
Jermaine Clement. Yeah.
Jermaine Clement. So our favorite people from New Zealand. And that's where the show is set. And I watched a couple episodes. It's a very, very funny show. So we'll be talking to him. Now, who does he play on the show?
It's Sarge.
Sarge. Okay. And practice his name so we get it right. And also coming up soon, we'll have Rose from the show Alone, which is on the History Channel. And they are on season 8 right now. And we'll be talking to her very, very soon. That that can be seen on the History Channel, or you can watch it on demand or wherever. But the last season...
Episodes, seasons 1 through 7 are available on Hulu.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And in fact, I just watched season 7 on Netflix, actually.
So season 7 by itself is on Netflix, but seasons 1 through 7 are on Hulu.
There's so many streaming channels. But Rose, by the way, is from a town called Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, where she runs... an outdoor store, you know, like what would you call one of those types of stores? They say outdoorsy, like
sporting goods.
Yeah, like a sporting goods store. That's exactly what the word I was looking for. And we won't know whether she's on it, and she'll talk about whatever she can talk about. But we look forward to that as well. We have a guest on this week's show. He'll be coming up in a few minutes. His name is Dave Wills, and you will know him when you see him and when you hear his voice. If you remember the extremely early era viral video where I think it's Terry Funk is talking about wrestling to a group of people in a gymnasium someplace. And Dave is the guy crying, going, "It's still real to me, damn it." I met him right before the pandemic. My brother took me to an AEW wrestling match down at, where was it? It was down at, I still want to call it Phillips Arena. I don't know what it's called now. State Farm? Is that what it's called now? State Farm Arena?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we went there and saw AEW, which is the competitor now to WWE, the primary competitor to WWE. And that's where Tony Schiavone is, and where James Ross, JR, James Ross. You know James Ross, the guy who always wears the cowboy hat. So anyway, I believe Luke Perry's son is a wrestler in the AEW. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Isn't that very interesting? So we'll be talking to him very, very shortly. So before we get to that, though, and he'll be coming on, by the way, to talk about the passing of Paul Orndorff, who was very big in the mid-80s all the way through the 90s. Mr. Wonderful was his moniker.
But he's still alive to me, damn it.
You should say that when he comes on. But Steph is back from taking all that D in, and we want to find out what the D was like. What was the D like, Steph?
Oh, it was, I didn't even make it down to the actual D. I was out in the, well, just the downriver community. Just
the tip.
Yeah, just the tip. Just the tip went in, which is enough, you know. That's enough to get you pregnant.
Really, for sure.
You want to abort the D. But it was, whatever. I went to a wedding. My aunt's wedding. And speaking of the What We Do in the Shadows, my aunt, they're like this super, very white, completely normal, boring wedding, right? Very, very nice. And for whatever reason, she hired these two steampunk vampires as her photographers.
What?
And it was so bizarre. And on the way over to the wedding, I almost drove me and my mother into traffic because she wouldn't shut up. And she told me, "You're not going to drink at this thing, are you?" And I said, "No, I don't plan on having a good time at all. You don't need to worry about that," because, you know, she's very religious, blah, blah, blah. So I would slip behind the garage and get into the box of wine and have me a few sips and then go back. And I go back to the table and they have like a piano bar and the dude's playing
a pipe organ.
You know, no, it's the piano. Yeah, okay, it's like piano. And he was like, "And the way you look tonight." And this is outside in a tent. And I look over and I see these two fucking vampires in the bushes.
What are they doing?
They're just standing in the bushes looking creepy with this powdery white makeup on their faces.
And what were they there for again? To be the
photographers.
The photographers.
And I just started dying laughing. Like I couldn't stop laughing. And my mom kept going, Steph, what's going on? Steph, why are you laughing so hard? And I'm just like,
did your mom think they were Satanists?
She was otherwise occupied. I feel like I was really the only one that was truly amused by the whole juxtaposition of the entire background of this whole thing. But
were there cameras like that brushed copper and made of like did they operate on steam?
Okay, listen. So the chick, she did have like a real camera.
Okay.
The dude who looked just like Jack White's brother. I'm not even kidding you. The same hair, outfit, all that shit. Like just like what we do in the shadows. They were both dressed like Nadia and freaking Landor. I mean, whatever the hell. It was insane.
Landor.
Yeah. He's taking pictures with his phone.
That's
he was just using his iPhone.
Okay, but I'm still confused. What made him steampunk?
It was their outfits. It was just their outfits. I wanted to take a picture of it. I really did, but I was too drunk.
You were just afraid they wouldn't show up in the picture.
Yeah, exactly. I really wanted. I just wished you could have seen, like, everybody else at this wedding is so murr, and then here's this. It's like, this makes no sense.
They probably would burn up if they went in the church. It was in a church, I assume.
So the wedding, it was in the church, and then that was like a bummer because the guy who performed it, they brought him from a skilled nursing facility because he had broken his leg. He like died, and the whole time while he's performing the wedding, he's crying.
Why?
And his wife's crying because it's sad. Like I don't know what's going to happen to him. He just like got a day pass to come and do this wedding. He might die. I don't know, but he'd given his word. He was going to perform this wedding, and it was just like, oh my God.
Holy shit.
So anyway, but yes, when we came into the church, and this is my childhood church that I grew up in, that my papa was the pastor of. He would always do his fire and brimstone, spit in the corners of the mouth, and everybody would fall out the spirit and the whole shebang. And there's these vampires. Like as soon as I walked into the church, it was
time to change. We accept vampires into the church.
It was very odd, but I got to go fishing with my nephews, which was nice. I hung out with my niece and her boyfriend, ate a bunch of donuts.
I saw that. Yeah. What was that donut place called? That I follow them on Instagram because you turned me on to them.
It is, oh crap.
The coffee and donuts?
Yes. Detroit Donut Bar.
Okay.
It was Detroit Donut Bar. And then there was another one called Sugarcraft. And that was like, I was in between places. Like I went to hang out with this chick that I used to know. And then on the way to my nephew's place, I saw a donut place. And I was like, I just need a moment for me. I need a moment for me. And I went in there and I got this, this creme brulee donut.
Mm.
It was unbelievable. It was such a good donut.
Detroit donuts. I wonder if Michael Moore goes back to Detroit and he just like forces his way into those donut shops. Give me the donuts.
I don't know, but I wouldn't say that they have better donuts than here.
No, we have great donut selection.
Yeah, they're just different donuts. I didn't really get any good.
In water, right?
Yeah, you get the Flint water donuts. Yeah. Those are the best.
You know, though, I think there is something wrong with the water because my face immediately broke out the first time I took a shower there, and it didn't get right till I got back home.
Really?
So I do think there is some sort of cadmium, chromium, something in the water.
I'll take a look at you, Steph.
Jeff knows rash as well.
Pop that top off and I'll be over.
Well, I started noticing like everybody kind of has like this patchy acne, and I think it is from this freaking, you know, graphite in the water that just burns your skin off.
Thanks a lot, Ford Motor Company.
Yeah. Well, that great, and you could move the donuts around with a magnet, but besides that, it was really good.
That's like a vaccine. You know, once you get the vaccine, you can put a magnet on your arm and it won't fall off. I saw that on one of my favorite news sites, RussiaToday/conspiracies2.org.
Oh, but wait. The flip side of that was there was a guest at this wedding, and he was a middle-aged man wearing a red backpack and a giant I've been vaccinated button on his shirt. And he told everyone when they came to the reception, I'm vaccinated. And this is the first event I've been to in a long time. Okay. I mean, just unsolicited. He just told people this over and over. I don't know. Maybe he was special. I'm not really sure, but it was very odd.
No, it sounds like someone who's been in their house for a year and a half.
Yeah, but nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Like on Facebook, I've been vaccinated. Yeah.
Shut up.
I had a finger up my ass last week. I don't have that badge. I had a finger up my ass.
Still kind of smell it too.
Well, you know, I had had a lot to eat today. Burned cheeseburgers and all that, you know.
I will say this, that when I left to go on my flight, and I got an early flight to Detroit, I got off on the wrong concourse. I thought she said concourse C. She said concourse E. Well, I get off on C, and this is the rowdiest crowd I've ever seen getting off this train. I mean, so rowdy. They're screaming at this lady in a wheelchair because she won't get off the train fast enough.
Get out of here, and then, egg.
Oh, they were like, no, like screaming at her. Like they couldn't walk their fat asses down one concourse if they missed it and whatever. So then they're going up the escalator and they were like, I told her, I'm like, look, I don't care if you're handicapped. I don't give a shit. I'm trying to get my plane. I'm not trying to be waiting and all of a sudden. I mean, it was crazy. And then I get up there and I'm like, what is going on? I was in freaking Southwest. Oh. I was like, no wonder this is some bullshit. This is damn Southwest riffraff. I only fly Delta.
So did anybody have to be restrained on your flight?
No.
Somebody to the seat?
Everyone was very normal. I was very pleased with the lady that I flew there with. We had a nice space in between us, which was awesome. We both loved it. I gave her a piece of gum. We didn't speak. She was perfect.
Did everybody have to wear a mask on a flight?
Oh, yeah. You got to wear the mask. It doesn't make any sense because if you're snacking, you don't have to wear the mask. So I technically could have just been snacking the entire time, the entire flight.
You don't have to
eat a peanut.
You don't have to wear a mask if you're a member of the Texas House either.
Apparently. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you're a member of the Texas House and you charter a plane, you don't have to wear one. Other than that, you only can remove it when you, are eating. Mr. Garrison had it right 15 years ago when he designed that bicycle that you sit on and the thing goes up your ass, but you can go really fast. That to me would be better than flying, because flying to me is pure nightmare, COVID or no COVID.
Oh, I hate flying.
I hate flying. And it's not because I'm afraid to be in an airplane. It's just because I don't like being bossed around and I don't like being violated by TSA agents who like to touch my wiener.
It's a short flight though, at least. And
a short wiener, but the flight is short from Detroit, I imagine.
Yeah, it's only a couple hours. And you know what's funny is Detroit's TSA, they are like, they're unbelievably kind compared to Atlanta's TSA. Atlanta's TSA, I feel like that is probably the closest that most of us will ever know what it's like to be in jail is going through Atlanta TSA, because they break you down to nothing. You're nothing. Yeah. And I don't care who you are. You go through TSA, everyone there is equally treated like garbage. And I kind of like it, because, you know, there's a lot of fancy pantses going through the TSA and they're used to getting treated like blah, blah, blah. Not there. And say a word. Just say a word. You're on no fly list, piece of shit. You're out of here.
No fly list. That's why you don't get lippy with him. You may need to fly one of these days. All right. Well, thank you for your recap of your trip. If you forgot anything and need to add it later, you got to jump back on and talk.
No, that was it. That was all. That's all I wish to discuss.
Okay. You know what? You can check out our YouTube page. We have all sorts of views for our big interview that Jeff and Steph did together with Scott Ryan from FX's Mr. In Between. How many views do we have now, Dustin?
As of tonight, it's got 1,200.
Wow. Now, if only those 1,200 people would like and subscribe.
No, we don't subscribe.
Don't subscribe. Yeah, we're going to see if reverse psychology works. It doesn't. Just go subscribe.
Don't subscribe. Don't like our videos.
Yeah, don't do any of that.
Don't leave a comment.
Don't join the Radio Shack. How do they get to the Radio Shack on Facebook?
Just type in Radio Shack.
Yeah, you can just type in Radio Shack, and it comes up above the actual Radio Shack.
Are there any actual Radio Shacks left in the world?
There's not, but they do have like a group, old employees and stuff.
We remember the Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to a street fair.
Tell us about that.
It's the Wyandotte Street Fair, and I noticed that it doesn't seem like there's a lot of street fairs here.
Here in Georgia.
Am I wrong about that?
We have street fair in Tucker once a month. They have a drive-in where they shut down Main Street and all the cars pull in and classic cars, and there's food and stuff outside.
But it's like, there's all the booths what you're talking about? All the tchotchkes and all that stuff. There's like booths, people are selling all these tchotchkes, and there's funnel cakes and all this other shit.
No, we don't, they don't do all that. They won't.
That's what I'm talking about. You know how up north it is, like they have the street fairs. There's and all the boxy these houses. Fairs. Yeah. I don't feel like they do that very much here.
No. Well, we're going to get robbed. We have a lot of murder here in our town. Our little part of the country, we have a lot of murder.
There was a lot of sausages.
Yeah.
A lot of kielbasa. There was a lot of kielbasa. Kraut. Pierogies. A lot of
hanging meat.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call home. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously tough pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online, atlantapizzaeuro.com, and find them on Facebook where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to. My house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Let's talk about the other who died. Or we can talk about hanging meat. Ron Jeremy's still alive. William Smith, 88 years old. He was... who was he, Jeff?
I remember him, that tough guy actor from, like... the Clint Eastwood movies.
Oh yeah, is he the guy that he did the bare knuckle fighting with in Everybody's Loose? Yeah. That's at 88 years old. Charles Robinson, 75 years old. He was Mac on Night Court. A very funny. Who did he replace on Night Court? He replaced somebody else.
I thought he was one of the originals.
I guess he was one of the original characters then. He was a very funny dude, and I don't remember him much in anything else. Certainly nothing that I'd watched, but do you guys?
I feel like he just would like pop up and stuff randomly mm-hmm. now that he was older. I would see him, I'd be like, oh, isn't that so-and-so? But I don't know. Nobody rocked a sweater vest better than that dude.
Yeah, he was great on that show. That whole show, Mike, was funny.
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff passed also. And that's what we're going to be talking about here.
And here
he was only 71 years old.
71 years young. All right.
For a wrestler.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that is old for a wrestler.
Well, Mr. Wonderful, if you don't know who it is, was Paul Orndorff. And he was a guy that he had like a little Dutch boy haircut. He looked like he had the Dorothy Hamill haircut, like a lot of people had in the 80s that parted right in the middle, you know, and where you can. Aside from Dorothy Hamill, the other person that had that hairdo was, at the time, Bruce Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner doesn't have that hairdo, but Bruce Jenner sure as shit did. Until the 2000s, I would assume, because he always had that weird-looking hair. That's not what he's noted for. He's noted for feuding with Hulk Hogan and that whole mid-80s rock and wrestling connection thing. So is our guest Dave Wills with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is.
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Now, is it okay to bring up that you gained infamy, internet infamy, with it's still real to me, damn it. Now, that was Terry Funk you were talking to. What was that all about?
Yeah, it was a question and answer. It was a fan fest, kind of tribute to Starrcade. They had a lot of guys there. I mean, a ton of folks. Barbarian, Jerry Lawler, Jeff Hardy, a bunch of folks. So they asked a question and answer session with Terry Funk, beautiful Bobby Eaton, Loverboy Dennis Condrey, and Jim Cornette, hosted by Bill Apter. And it was, at the time, there's a lot of deaths with wrestlers going on where they were dying early and stuff like that. It wasn't of old age. It was because of, demons, if you want to call it that. So Terry had talked about, it was the week Eddie Guerrero had passed away. And a lot of people were emotional by that. I was very emotional. You saw the tribute to Guerrero on there. He seemed like such a good guy. I never met him, but he seemed like such a fantastic guy. And, he achieved, a lot of his dreams, but unfortunately, because of certain things going on, people were dying of enlarged hearts and stuff like that. And a lot of us were emotional. And they came down to where Terry Funk was asked a question, who would you like to wrestle? And everybody gave a thing. He said, I'd like to have one more match of Eddie Guerrero. And it was already emotional for me because I got to meet my favorite wrestler, the Barbarian. I also got to see a lot of stars I've seen. I seen Mick Foley walking around. He was having trouble walking. Harley Race was pulled in by a wheelchair. Was sitting in a wheelchair when he was pulled in. And it was somewhat touching at the time. Somewhat touching is an understatement, I suppose. Right. But he said, like, to have one more match with Guerrero. And Funk even said he's always been somewhat of a forerunner, I think, in the business. And he's having some issues now as he gets older. But he said, I think wrestling needs to clean their act up. You know, even if it means withholding our love from those who are with us. And a wrestler for WWE was pilled up or something and was sent home too. And I got a question that I want to thank him for all their sacrifice. I mean, these guys play fought, it's a bargain. You get the fame and the success, and sometimes you get the money, but a lot of times you get it to where, you're falling off a large ladder every single night. There's only so many of those a regular body can take, much less doing it for pay or doing it for a living. And I want to say thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for doing it. And then, thank you for, going to this trouble for my entertainment. And I had a real good idea of the way it was planned. And I wanted to say thank you for saying what needed to be said, that, we need to clean it up. No. I went up there, Mr. Funk, thank you for what needs to be said. I don't want to see another one of these. It's still real to me.
Next question, Jeff, where are you? Right there.
Yeah. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it.
I don't know where the hell that came from. Do I
from your heart.
Or something, or was I just out of it? At least out of me, but
came from your heart. Well,
then I'm on a tape trading board. It's just fantastic because someone had that as their cue line, or as their, I guess, signature, whatever. It's through. I say, hey, that's a great line I've used before. They go, have you seen the video? Oh God, I went viral. Now I'm going to be mentioned in the same sentence as the Tron. As what is the Tron guy, the Star Wars kid, Howard Dean, and William Hung.
That's how early this was.
Yeah, it was
before Chocolate Rain.
It was actually 2005, I'm not mistaken, or 2006. And then, it went viral, and then some things happened. I was able to, appear on, did a lot of radio interviews. Of course, none as good as Radio Labyrinth, mind you. But sure. Hey, y'all are the guys. What I can say.
What's the most famous show you did before the television appearance, radio wise?
Ron and Fez was on there. Opie and Anthony, they Ramoned me, if I'm not mistaken.
Were they cool to you or were they dick?
What?
Were they cool, Opie and Anthony, or were they?
They kind of did. What is it? Would they Ramon you or something? Everything. I don't remember much about it, but hey, whatever. Most places were cool. I did a lot of interviews, a lot of podcasts. It was a new medium at the time.
Oh yeah.
But then I wound up on Tosh.0, and it, people say that's the power of the internet. I'm like, no. That's the power of television, because the internet wasn't what it was at that time. The internet wasn't Netflix and chill. The internet was, hey, a few people are watching it, but you know, I had one guy blow smoke up my behind, tell me, hey, you're the most famous wrestling fan in the world. I went to a show that night and I sat with my now ex-wife and I said, no one said hello to me. I'm the most famous guy in the world.
I didn't want to bug you when I saw you in line. I go, oh my God. And my brother knew your name. And
yes.
My brother goes, I've met him before.
Rules.
Yeah, Jason goes, he's a real nice guy. You should go talk to him. Like, I don't want to bug him now.
But oh, you should have. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I know, but I don't like doing that to people. Plus, I was
you're a real nice guy. I'm sure they bug you too. What can I say?
Well, you know, they do, but they don't bug me. I mean, people talk to me and I'm not bugged by it ever. I think it's amazing. It's like, oh yeah, sure. I'm very humble about that. But to segue into it, you know, I've been watching since I've been home. You know, we have a 7-week-old, and when we got home from the hospital, I just, you know, you're sitting there, you're feeding, and then you're not feeding. So when I'm not feeding or, you know, looking after Gil, I was watching TV. So I got caught up on all the A&E WWE documentaries. And then I rewatched all the both seasons of the Vice documentary series what's it called? The Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, we'll talk about Paul Orndorff, but I wanted to ask you, between those two, which do you think are more telling and more revealing about wrestling, the business, and actually are more honest? Because, you know, a lot of the times the WWE ones can gloss over some things. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. And then you guys ask questions too. I'm sorry.
Well, anytime you have a certain company that controls the creative output to a certain extent, they're going to minimize the damage to them. I mean, if someone's doing a bio of Radiolabyrinth and you have total control, you're not going to let someone say suck. I mean, you know, so WWE is going to minimize the damage for sure. And some of the stuff, I think some of it's a work. I think some of it's, you know, kind of fixed, because I've heard from other collectors who said, I ain't selling my stuff for any price to WWE for some of their stuff. I thought that some were good. I didn't see every one of them. I have seen every Dark Side of the Ring, and I think Eisner and Holsey do a great job on that. That's fantastic. You know, it's just a shame, and that goes back to his story to me, damn it, that so many have happened, and there could have been a stop to some of it. And thankfully, a lot of it slowed down right now. But, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon said the wellness policy's PR. You know, he said that it's public relations. There's been a lot of great stories and a lot of great triumphs and a lot of great things that have happened in the sport and the business of wrestling. But there's also been quite a bit of negative stuff. And a lot of it was preventable. And a lot of it is based on, you know, how you promote. You know, do you have a break in the schedule? Do you have a union? No. Do you have a you know, some kind of medical plan or retirement plan? Not really. Cauliflower Alley jumps in there and helps people out. I'm a lifetime member to try to help a lot of the wrestlers who are having issues. And thankfully they have that. And it's a shame that so much has taken place, but the work they've done based on the dramatic and cinematic aspect of it has just been tremendous to recreate, the reenactments. Awesome.
You think of Vince McMahon as the demon that people make him out to be?
I never met the man. I can't speak to whether he is or not. I've heard people say good things about him, bad things about him. When you're in management, you're going to get hammered for something. You're not going to be able to please everybody. Not everybody is going to be happy with what you do. You know, do I think that promoting, I don't think that promoting, you know, huge muscularity is ever a good thing. Because, you know, you're encouraging people to, you know, take anabolics or human growth hormone or whatever, that can be challenging. And when you're, you know, doing these flips and all, now you do more and you do more and have less of a career than you had then, you want to see simulated combat, not, you know, real combat where you're fighting each other, you know?
Well, and everybody tries to do something new to make themselves stand out. And most of the time, you know, the safe things are the things that have been done over the years. And, you know, you try to do something new, you start going into that territory of damaging yourself.
Well, sure. One of the things I got to do whenever I was, I had my internet fame, or first started, is I got invited to a show in Lenore, North Carolina, where they had a match with Jerry Lawler against the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Now, people may say what they want to about either man, but that match hardly had any bumps. The crowd was very happy, and it worked. It got over. The fans didn't feel like they were cheated. It went home. A lot of it's psychology. You got to do more with less. Yeah. My buddy Curtis Hughes, Mr. Hughes, who wrestles, God, do I hear from him all the time. Now, he's my buddy. But Curtis is going to go in there and try his best not to do as much as he can. I mean, you know, but I mean, you know, you're in your 50s, you know. One time I was ribbing him at a show. He used to do WWA4. He was one of the trainers over there. And I used to do commentary with him. And, you know, he's like, I ain't going to do too much. And then he worked with one of his trainees, and he says, and then he goes in there. He said, hey, you got commentary. I'm going to go work, try to get Amp over, work with AR Fox. So he goes in there, and then, you know, he gets like a, you know, drop kick or something. He gets like a hip toss or something. I go, uh-oh, wow, this is a $500 match. He hit Nick's another. This is a $1,000 match. Just trying to mock him on, you know, what is payoff. And then he bumps out of the ring. This is WrestleMania! And he's like, what was that? I said, it was just me being me, Curtis. You'll be all right. Call me Mr. Hughes. I'm total protection, Mr. Hughes. You call me Mr. Hughes, you address me. Okay. Whatever, Curtis. So there you go. So he's like, everybody else calls me Hughes. Curtis is your name. Whatever, you know.
How many leagues or organizations are there below WWE and AEW?
Oh, God. Billions of them. You got Bubba running the gas station, who's got a bunch of people in the garage when the car's not there at some place. There's all kind around Georgia. You can Google GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, see local shows. The one company I really enjoy is Ring of Honor. My buddy Jonathan Gresham, who trained with Mr. Hughes, I caught a lot of his matches. Gresham is just tremendous. So you like the technical wrestling like Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko did. It's just tremendous. You don't see a lot of the, you know, frying pans and, you know, a lot of stuff, but you see a lot of mat ground wrestling. It's a lot of catch. It's great stuff. And he's with Ring of Honor, which is out of Maryland. I think they're owned by Sinclair, as a matter of fact. And NWA owned by William Patrick Corgan. Yeah, Billy, the Smashing Pumpkin himself.
So NWA is sorry to interrupt, but NWA is what WCW used to be called, right?
NWA was, but apparently after they were a group of promoters, I think WCW pretty much used the name and made a deal with the promoters.
Okay.
But since then, there's a lot of stuff that went off. I think the NWA brand, I think they have a lot of the stuff from Paul Bosch in Houston that they have access to. They don't show a lot of classic stuff, which I don't get, but they do a lot of taping in Atlanta. They're going to be coming up doing their 70th, I think their 73rd anniversary, is something like that. Forgive me for not remembering offhand, but it's going to be in St. Louis. A lot of times they run in Atlanta and do the TV tapings. I was at the last ones. They were tremendous. It was good. It was good stuff. Nick Aldis is their champion. If you like a Nick Bockwinkel from the ABA, he has a very similar style, cocky British heel, very good wrestler as far as I'm concerned. Very talented fella. It's some good. There's some good stuff in all of them. You don't have to, you know, see, I prefer a lot of stuff with, you know, okay, flips are great. I like a little lucha libre. I like a little, sometimes there's a bloodbath that needs to be done. But at the same time, I don't want to, you know, watch it thinking, damn, this guy's not going to be around for about 5 years. He's going to cripple himself, you know.
I don't know if either of you guys ever saw Mr. Wonderful in person. Tim, did you ever see him?
I saw him wrestle one time, yes. Long time ago. Long time ago.
Remember seeing him whenever he was I was actually a young kid, probably at 86. That put me about 12, 11. He was, I liked him. He was from Atlanta. I liked a lot of the local guys. I liked, the Freebirds. I liked Paul Orndorff. He was from Atlanta. And I thought, hey, cool. He's pretty cool. And I remember watching him wrestle Adrian Adonis and all this stuff. And then he turned on Hulk Hogan and I was shocked. Then he's up there aligned with Adrian Adonis and Bobby Heenan. I'm like, what? You know, this just floored me.
I remember when he went to WWF at the time, because we had just gotten WTBS on cable. We got it in our town in Pennsylvania, and I'd never seen any of this wrestling before because it was all WWF. It was all Vince McMahon stuff. That's all we got. Sometimes I think on ESPN, maybe we got AEW. But I was, you know, ESPN back then was kickboxing and rugby and stuff like that. But so I started watching it and I was like, wow, this is cool. I don't know who any of these people are. And they're all Southerners. And I saw Ric Flair for the first time. I saw him in wrestling magazines, but I'd never seen them on TV.
Yeah.
And I remember Warndorf, and then he went to WWF and he went after Mr. T. And so they ended up being in that first WrestleMania with he was with Roddy Piper. And that whole era, when Jeff and I were from the same town, but we were watching it on NBC on Saturday nights, and it just became this huge phenomenon. Yeah.
I actually didn't see him wrestle. I saw him. I followed his career some. I know he was, I think, running the bowling alley or something in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And he had left WWE and was going to do a religious thing with it. Was at, I think, Roswell Street or something, and he wrestled Ray Lloyd, who later became Glacier, who's a great friend of mine. I've known him for, God, damn near 30 years. But if I followed that, and later, a few years ago, I met him. Now, let's just say there's a fan fest called WrestleCade. It's up the day after Thanksgiving in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's huge. It's fantastic. Tracy Myers does a great job with it. There is a ton of people there, non-WWF performers, but you see so many folks up there. You get to get, you know, meet so many people, brush with them, you know, hang out. Last time they had it a couple of years back, I was in the lobby about 12:30, half lit, talking to, let's see here, Road Warrior Animal and Johnny Fairplay next to each other. That was a fun conversation. I'm sure it was. But they had a WrestleCade 1 year. Let's just say, well, I was alcohol infused. Let's just say that. Way too much than I should have been. And one guy who's a guy, I think he promotes some or used to promote or wrestled in Georgia, Kevin Walker, comes up and says, "Hey, Dave, Mr. Wonderful's over there at the bar." I said, "Yeah." He says, "You ought to go see us. I got some things I want to say to Mr. Hell with it. I will go say some things to him right now." And I went up to him in my little wonderful drunken stupor, and I said, pardon the word, but I said, "Mr. Wonderful, fuck Kevin O'Leary and fuck Shark Tank. You're the only Mr. Wonderful I know." Man, pop goes, and he was just floored, gave me a hug. And I got to sit around listening to stories from him and Cowboy Bob Orton the rest of the night.
Oh, you know? God, what a great, what a treat.
Yeah, it was tremendous. You know, I got two of the performers from WrestleMania, and I'm up there. I'm like, if I actually was halfway sober, I might remember more. I wasn't that lit. But yeah. I remember later I ran the Dutch Mantel, and he's like, "You've had too much." I know, Dutch. I'm sorry. I'll do better. You know, so, yeah. Well,
Dave, we would love to have you on to do a full interview show some point in the future. And, you know, we talk to each other. So
absolutely.
Would you want to come on? And, yeah, we just said that.
Absolutely.
And
anything for Tim Andrews and Radio Labyrinth and Stephanie and Jeff and everybody. You know, Dustin, I'm all about it. What can I say? Put everybody out.
I want to talk about, and I mean, in the future, I want to talk more about these fan gatherings, because I'd like to go to some of these, because watching those shows has rekindled my interest, not so much in watching new WWE, but I can watch some of these new shows on in the other leagues, not knowing who they are, because it's exciting. I kind of have an idea what's going on in WWE, but it doesn't matter what I'm talking about. I want to talk about these and meet some people. I've met people out like that. I met Honky Tonk Man. Greatest thrills was when WrestleMania did their anniversary show here at
Atlanta.
Yeah, in Atlanta. They did the 30th, I think it was, or no, it was 33 or something like that. I don't remember, but I got to meet Jimmy Hart, and I got to meet Brett or Shawn Michaels. Not, I met Bret Michaels before. Shawn Michaels, and they were so cool because they were talking to me about. I said, "Yeah, I saw this. I met Sergeant Slaughter. Met all these guys, and I got to meet Roddy Piper before he died, and he was one of the nicest dudes ever." But my favorite wrestling story of all, meeting a wrestler story, is I was a manager of a Bob Evans in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And it was right by the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So, you know, people would stop there. And one day, Jimmy Snuka and some guy I didn't recognize came and sat at the bar. And back then you could smoke. So Jimmy Snuka smoked from the moment he walked in until he left. While he was eating, he smoked. And I'm asking him questions. He's like, "Hey, brother, thanks, you brother. Hey, brother, that's great, brother. Please leave me the fuck alone. I'm trying to eat, brother." And so he came back. And when he came back, he was bruised up. And I said, "How'd you do?" He goes, "Oh, that got me pretty good, brother." Chain smoking. But I said the first time I ever saw live wrestling was at Southside High School in Elmira, New York. Jeff was there and our buddy Stu was there, and his dad drove us up there in the truck, and we went and saw wrestling in a high school gym in a small New York State city. And we saw Jimmy Snuka fight Playboy Buddy Rose. Yeah, that's who it was. It was the first time, you know, he had just become a good guy. You know, he wasn't the drooling mess like they had him at first. And because when he first came to WWE, he just went blah, 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 and but anyway, we had such a great time, and I brought him. I go, "Yeah, that was such a great match." And then I think I said something to him, and then you went to that hotel room, and he just looked at me.
Yeah.
But that was a good thing. And at that wrestling event, our friend Stu punched Magnificent Morocco in
the back. Oh boy, he's
we were kids
podcast now of all things.
He is.
Yeah, Magnificent Morocco does a podcast. It's on YouTube. So get Google. I think it's the Magnificent Podcast or something, but yeah, Don Morocco, he's doing his own podcast. I actually got interviewed by the Honky Tonk Man, which is totally ridiculous.
That's awesome.
What happened was he posted the video when it went viral and says, "What a goof." Yeah. I sent a nice email. So it was an honor to be called a goof by the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Well, he said, "You want to be on my podcast, Shake Rattle?" Like, oh, hell yeah, absolutely. So I was marking out and everything. But we had a great conversation. I mean, I've seen Wayne a few times since then. He's cool. And you should go to some of the fan fest. You know, bring the whole family, maybe too.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing some memories of you know, other wrestlers, but sure. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, rest in peace. Thank you for all those many years of entertainment and excitement. Especially, you know, going back, those are fond memories for me, and I like keeping them alive. So that's what this is all about, Radio Labyrinth. And Dave, you're a cool guy. I hope we can talk to you again in the future. Is there any place you would like if people want to follow you?
Follow me at Still Real Dave on Twitter. That's where I'm at most of the time. Still Real Dave at Still Real Dave on Twitter, and also you know. What else was I? Oh, it's stillrealtome.com. Dave Wills Wrestling. I think I got a website out there somewhere. It depends if I paid the bill or not. I think it's
still. Right.
If it ain't, I need to get off the struggle bus and get my new debit card. Okay.
Right on. Well, it was nice chatting with you, man. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon.
Take care, Big Daddy.
You too, man. All right, guys, let's thank another one of our amazing, amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. You can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreationco. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything, jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Code. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone, though. Sometimes you need eBay too. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy. Thanks again to Dave Wills. And you can follow him. He said his social media. and all of that. Let's talk about the Emmy nominations real quick. I'll go through them and we can discuss, maybe see what we have to talk about. I don't really give a shit about the Emmys anymore. I don't know anybody that does, but maybe Jeff, do you care?
I mean, there are some people I'd like to see win, but other than that, I don't give a shit.
I said on Twitter that I think Gene Smart should just win all the Emmys. Give that Chet Hacks all the Emmys. I freaking love
I'd like to see both her and Lorraine Newman's daughter win for Hacks.
Yeah, me too. I think Hannah Einbinder, is that her name? Enbinder, whatever, how you say your last name. I think they were both really, really good. And I don't like these categories because, so this is a situation comedy on HBO Max. It's called Hacks, if you haven't ever heard of it. And it's an amazingly funny show about an old comedian, a female comedian who's in residence in Las Vegas. She needs a writer. So there's a young millennial writer and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they're up against, it's Gene Smart, by the way, from Designing Women and millions of other things. But they're up against like Saturday Night Live, which isn't a sitcom. It's a variety show. So why is that thrown in there? Because
like, yeah, the categories are bizarre. And yeah, there's some weird stuff that's not comedy in the comedy categories.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so we're just doing real quick. A lot of these shows I don't even watch. So the best actress in a comedy, those Adi Bryant for Shrill, Kaley Cuoco for The Flight Attendant, which I hear was good. Gene Smart for Hacks, Allison Janney, Mom, and Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish. Who do you guys think will win?
Gene Smart
should win. But okay. I don't think Kaley Cuoco should be in there. The Flight Attendant is not a comedy.
No. I mean, if they were going to do that, they should have nominated Kristen Milioti for Made for Love.
Yeah,
she was great in that.
Yeah, she was. That show was good. The best actor, Anthony Anderson, Blackish. I like him a lot. I haven't watched that show, but I think Anthony Anderson's a funny guy and a good actor. Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method. William H. Macy for Shameless, Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, and Kenan Thompson for Kenan. Now that, I think the favorite has to be
For Ted Lasso. But again, William H. Macy in Shameless, that is not a comedic role. That is a dramatic role.
Right, but
he's a comedic character. He does funny things.
But, and it was the final season, so maybe he'll get it just for that because it was the final season.
Yeah. And he put in like, what, 7 years on it or something?
Yeah.
So like he didn't win the Oscar either, did he? Or did he win an Oscar? I don't remember. No, I think he lost it.
He's been nominated multiple times.
But he got nominated for Fargo, and I can't remember if he won it or not. I know that whole season. Oh, no, he didn't win. It went to Cuba Gooding Jr. for that stupid movie with Tom Hanks. Okay. Best supporting actress in a comedy, you got Hannah Einbinder for Hacks. And now these three don't make any sense to me. Cecily Strong, Adi Bryant, and Kate McKinnon for SNL. Rosie Perez for The Flight Attendant, Hannah Waddingham for Ted Lasso, and Juno Temple for Lasso. I don't know who's going to win. Best supporting actor in a comedy, more SNL. Carl Clemens Hopkins for Hacks. I think his role was very great. I think he was like the like very calm but also very funny. Do you got, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Her assistant. Thought he was fantastic. Bowen Yang for SNL, Kenan Thompson, and then four people for Ted Lasso, and then Paul Reiser for The Kominsky Method.
Yeah. Bowen Yang is the first cast member who's not he's a featured player,
mm-hmm.
not a, you know, regular cast member. So it's cool he got nominated.
Yeah,
as a featured player.
Yeah, that'll change his contracts coming.
Yeah.
Up. Oh, no doubt. Best comedy, you got Blackish, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, Hacks, The Flight Attendant, The Kominsky Method, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso. Which do you guys think will win?
Ted Lasso.
Cobra Kai is a comedy.
Yeah,
it's Cobra Kai. I don't get that either.
In there.
No. There's so much out there that I think they just have to shoehorn everything.
I think it's less they have to shoehorn it, and more they're trying to include everything.
Yeah, you're right. Best actress in a drama, Emma Corrin for The Crown, Uzo Aduba for Entreatment, Olivia Colman for The Crown. It's the same shit as last year. Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale, MJ Rodriguez for Pose. What was that?
That was the Emily Moss Raspberry.
Emily.
What, Steph?
No, I was just, we were both like, it was ridiculous that she would get nominated this year. She didn't even act. She just grimaced.
Get me in my slow. She directed the episode. So they're just all these slow zoom ins to her scowly face.
They should never let her direct again.
No. This, I mean, some of the episodes were okay. I really got to tell you this, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the ending of the show, I thought them beating the shit out of, Fred was terrible. I thought it was pointless and stupid, and I don't think that the Canadian government would have allowed that. But anyway, there you go.
He's still Fred to me, damn it.
And Journey Smollett for Lovecraft Country.
And I think that's awesome. Lovecraft Country got 18 nominations and canceled.
And canceled, yeah.
All right, best actor in a drama, Josh O'Connor for The Crown, Billy Porter for Pose, Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us. Let's see, Matthew Reese for Perry Mason, Jonathan Majors, Lovecraft Country, and Regé Jean Page for Bridgerton.
Which he quit
Matthew Reese,
show.
Of course.
I'm kind of hoping Matthew Reese gets it.
I'd like Matthew Reese, too.
He won't. But
I think Billy Porter will probably get it.
And he shouldn't, because he wasn't that good last year. I watch Pose, and I didn't even think he did that well last year.
Is it a good show?
I mean, you wouldn't like it, but I do.
Well, I mean, would I appreciate its artistic?
No.
Once you stopped masturbating, you might be able to appreciate it.
It's not for you. It's for women and for gay men.
Okay.
Totally.
I get it. Okay.
It just is. You know, I mean, there's some shows like Neil will watch with me, but then there's some where he's like, no, this is not, no. And that's one of those. And I would just say that he's pretty much the barometer for your evolved man that will watch things that, you know, it has like, you know, gay kissing, things like that. I mean, if it's a good show, he's whatever. But that's where he's like, no, I'm not watching this. This is not for me. It's
We're out of the
too chickified.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me know. I won't cry. I'll just do one more category so we can move on. But the best drama, this is going to be a tough one. The Boys, Bridgerton, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose, and This Is Us. So the one show I would want to win out of all of those won't win. Actually, two I would accept would be The Boys or The Mandalorian, but I don't think either of those guys. Oh, either of those shows will win.
Yeah, Mandalorian would be great, but and Lovecraft Country, I would just love just so they could stick it to them. You know, winning best drama and getting canceled.
Right,
it just kind of shows that, you know, what they were putting together and what they were doing was impressive. I mean, impressive in the industry enough for this kind of recognition, but for it to be kind of thrown away just because of where they were coming from,
right?
You know, I think it's a little, but you know, Mandalorian, I mean, they got just as many nominations, I think, as Lovecraft Country. So it'd be neat to see, you know, Marvel kind of venture into, you know, Emmy territory, you know, kind of solidifying their place in television as well as in movies.
Yeah, they're doing a document, not documentary, but they're going to do a Mandalorian special focusing on that Luke Skywalker scene where they're going to explain how that happened, and that'll be cool, I think.
Yeah, that's the it's going to be in the special features section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those they add to it.
Nice.
Yep.
And not really an awful lot of news, so we don't have to do an awful lot of that. But that was one thing I wanted to talk about. And you know, we'll do more news next week, I guess. But I have a theory about Dexter. They're releasing little snippets, little teasers about, you know, the new show. And I think Deb will be replacing James Remar as, you know, his conscience to help his dark past.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the news from today that. What's her name? Jen Carpenter.
Yeah,
she's going to be back, even though her character's dead on the original series.
Right,
and they also announced John Lithgow would be coming back.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I think you explained it pretty well. That seems to me, if Lithgow wasn't Lithgow part of his, like, didn't he hear him in his head as well at times?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I think it might, you know, just roll into her being his consciousness and then going through things in history, you know, flashbacks and whatnot.
Oh, did John Lithgow get away? I don't remember.
Yeah, Lithgow got away.
No.
Killed, Yes, he killed what's her face in the bathtub. Remember?
Yeah, I know he killed her, but didn't Dexter kill him after that?
I think he got away.
I thought he did.
Ooh. I thought he did too. I'll have to rewatch that.
It's been a while.
I was thinking he got away. You guys are probably
that,
right.
That would be cool if he did.
I just don't. Maybe it's just because I just did not want John Lithgow to die.
Right. I was like, what's Lithgow in anything, especially that role?
Then we had the weird Colin Hanks. Then Colin Hanks was one of the worst seasons. Mm-hmm. It got progressively worse, by the way. Every season after the Trinity Killer just got worse and worse and worse.
I wished I would have stopped at 4.
Yeah, yeah. I did a rewatch a couple years ago, and you just, once you get past Trinity, you're like, oh, why? What's Jimmy Smits? Is that season 3?
Jimmy Smits was season 3.
It was season 3.
All right.
Yep. That was another kind of not that great of a season.
It wasn't that great. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Once Dokes died.
Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker.
He died, motherfucker.
Dokes is great. I love Dokes.
They should have kept Dokes alive for more seasons somehow.
And they could have played it out like that and maybe done that in season 5 or something.
They did keep him alive in the books.
Oh yeah.
Dexter like cut off his tongue and did all kinds of shit so he couldn't talk.
Oh man.
Yeah, but he kept him alive.
Oh, he kept him alive. Like what, living in the woods and feeding him?
No, just so he couldn't kept him alive enough so he couldn't narc on him.
Okay. Weird.
I don't know I don't think I like what's her face being his dark passenger. She gets my damn nerves.
I didn't like her on the show, really. I mean, she had her purpose on that show.
Yeah.
But it I don't know. She's whiny.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Harry was different when he had his interactions with Harry. Yeah. I mean, that actor is so good.
James Remar.
Yeah.
She needs to just use the voice she used in White Chicks.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this show. I'm going to watch it, obviously, because I was a huge fan of it up until season 4. And I guess would you call me a fan if I continued watching it even after it sucked?
I mean, I'm curious to see. I don't know. I don't know if I would consider myself a fan. I did like the Trinity Killer season, and I watched all of it, but I don't know if I ever really loved it except for the Trinity Killer season. And I'm going to watch it, though, just to see if they can redeem themselves from that shitty finale.
Same. That's exactly why I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a short break and come back and we'll do our what we watched and staff picks and wrap it up. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
And we're back.
All right. Who wants to start with what they watched?
You.
No.
I'll go because I only had a few things. I watched upon, you know, your recommendation, Tim, I started watching Katla.
What do you think? Are you noping out?
No, I love it.
Okay, good.
It's beautiful to watch, and it does remind me a lot of Dark, but I really like it. The part that's confusing me, where I'm at, I'm only 3 episodes in, but yeah, they're coming, you know, the people are starting to come back, and the volcano, the whole volcano thing is just kind of and their Icelandic fables, I guess, right, is what it's all based on. And even based on in the show. But yeah, that whole process is a neat concept for a show, and all the actors are amazing. I think they also do all of their own overdubbing.
Okay.
So the people, yeah, when you see people overdubbing or listen to them overdubbing, it's actually a lot of those actors that just, they did it in afterwards, you know, they redubbed it instead of shooting it in English.
The Icelandic is overdubbed and the Swedish has subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really good. I'm gonna finish it. But I'm about halfway through. I think you should leave. That show's hilarious.
Yeah,
but it's weird. I can watch it in maybe two episodes at a time, and then I gotta stop.
Why?
It's weird. I've never watched anything that was so funny, but if I watch too much, it gets really annoying. I don't know. It's like you have to take it in spurts, but it's, I mean, the concepts of it are hilarious. I mean, all the skits are so far out there that, you know, you don't know where it's going. And that's what I like about it, because it can't really fit it in a box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, it seems like his way of sticking it to somebody somewhere in his career told him that he'd never be able to do any of this stuff. And he's doing it, and you know, he don't care, which I think is hilarious in some way. But I really enjoy it. I watched the first season last year, but I've watched the second season now about halfway through, and it's really good. Evil, are you caught up on Evil?
I'm one behind.
You're one behind. Okay, so no spoilers.
Okay, well, I mean, it's fine. But yeah, are you caught up, Tim? Did you get through
into season 2? I watched half of the most recent episode. I have to finish watching it. But
the elevator episode?
Yeah. Steph's right. Christine Lotti is insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love her in this show.
I do, too.
God, I love her. She's one of my favorite characters.
New episodes, I think, are out every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. On Paramount Plus.
Yes. And I watched Alone the Beast on A&E. Four episodes of that. It's a spinoff series of the same producers that made Alone on the History Channel. And I guess History Channel and A&E are owned by the same company.
Yeah.
So they, instead of putting this on the History Channel, they moved it over and put it on A&E. And it's a completely different show. You know, it's three people left for 30, you know, have to survive 30 days, but they're only given their clothes on their back, no tools, nothing to bring with them, but they're given a fallen animal. So they at the beginning of every show, they have someone, I guess in Canada, one of the Indian tribes there, kill an animal, and then they have like an hour to get to it. And then they have that food to eat for the month, but the three people have to work together. They do have a camera crew on them, so they're not officially alone, but at the same time, they have a camera crew on them. So it's actually kind of watchable in some places more so than Alone, which can get a little sometimes hard to watch with the camera work that the, you know, you're doing by yourself.
The Alone purists really hated the show when it originally came out.
Oh, I know. I got that last night when I texted everybody about it, and all of a sudden Jeff's like, "Hey, that's not really Alone." I'm like, okay, I get it.
Garbage.
I mean, I watched it all, and it was a fun survival show, and it's kind of fucked up. They don't even give them a knife, and they got to fucking strip and process a whole like a water buffalo and shit without a knife.
Yeah. So the first 30 minutes is everybody collecting rocks that they can bust up and make a knife out of. But you know, it just like Alone, a lot of them, it kind of falls into the same routine in every episode, you know, because that's kind of the way that just the show goes. But it's all right. If you finish Alone and you want something else to watch just to kind of get that fix, Alone the Beast may be something that, you know, might tide you over.
Okay.
And I don't really have a staff pick this week.
All right, cool.
Who wants to do next?
I'll go. I watched all of I Think You Should Leave, and then I went back and watched the first season again. Mm-hmm. And then I started watching Detroiters again. You know, like I said, he's insane. I love pretty much all the sketch, the fucking tables.
The tables one killed me. It was so fucking insanely funny.
I think that's my favorite sketch, that one and the one where he brings the Johnny Carson performer that's slapping everybody.
Yeah, the old
because he can't hit at that price point.
Yeah,
the other price point they can't hit. So
but what does she do? What is her job? Tables.
Well, and just the fact that they won't explain it, and then at the very in the last video, it's for Comic Con, she's like, oh well, that's why he just wouldn't tell them. He knew what it was for. There was a reason.
I want to ask about the tables.
I don't know, but I've sent her a message, that actress that drives the van, and she's on Shrill. I begged her. I haven't heard back from her, though. Right. But, anyway, Physical. Really
funny, by the way, sorry, go ahead.
Physical, that new show with Rose Byrne on Apple Plus.
I watched the first one, and it was very well done. And I like Rory Scovel.
Yeah, I binged it, and I'm all caught up. The new episode, I think, comes out Friday, but it's very dark. And
Physical is?
She, huh?
Physical,
yeah, Physical is. Oh, yeah, it's very dark. Yes. Okay. She plays a bulimic who is in the 80s.
Yeah.
And she becomes obsessed with this aerobics, you know, which has become the new trend, new phase, and it becomes just this obsession for her. But yeah, her bulimia, she will rent a hotel room. She'll get two bags of like cheeseburgers, french fries, whatever, and she gets naked, and then she sits on the bed, and then she eats all this food, and then she throws up, and then takes a shower, and then goes home. She's like depleting their bank account by doing this so often. But she's got like all kinds of demons. But what I like about it is it has a lot of self-narration, which can suck if they don't do it right. And she is so funny, and she's so mean. Her thoughts are just, oh God, is she mean. And the whole supporting cast, Rory Scovel is great. But yeah, I highly recommend Physical. And I finally started getting into The Morning Show. I'm already
It's not a bad show, is it? I thought it was going to be terrible.
It isn't. I mean, it's not like, I wouldn't say, oh, it's the best show I ever had, but it's comfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
It's something you can just kind of get lost in. And I like the...
Great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's good. And the Mr. In-Between series finale, I watched that this morning. And I was satisfied, except for the fact that I just don't want it to be over.
Right.
But I
feel like he was trying to do like a Sopranos kind of ending, but he did it better than the Sopranos.
I think he did. And I also think he left it to where that if he does decide in a couple of years that he does want to come back to this character, he very well could.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like he took the Sopranos style ending where it was just tension building, tension building, tension building. And then boom, it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
But he did it better than.
Yeah, he did. He did those last few minutes, and then he was just like, go a little further, go a little further. Yeah. And I was like, all right now, all right now. But yeah, I mean, it was, I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it, but it was really good. I really liked it. And my staff pick is Southside season two.
Yeah, come on. Season two.
Season two is premiering on HBO Max Friday, July 16th. And hopefully I'm going to be able to get one of the creators and stars on. So he said if I hit him back in mid-July that he'd be able to do it. So
cool.
So awesome. Thank you guys for doing all that, getting all these guests and working at it, and at least trying and all that. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
I watched the most recent episode of Alone. They didn't show Rose until the last 5 minutes. So I hope that means she's going to do good in these future episodes coming up. The first two episodes of Wellington Paranormal season one aired on the CW. So you guys should all watch that.
Is it stream anywhere?
It's on HBO Max the next day.
All right, I'll check it out.
And I watched that White Lotus, that Mike White show on HBO with Alexandria Daddario and Sydney Sweeney and Stifler's mom.
Any good?
That's kind of funny. It seems like there's maybe some crazy shit going on under the surface that we'll find out more about. It's like a hotel that's maybe not as fancy as it's pretending to be. That's the whole White Lotus deal. I'm gonna keep watching it. I watched Leverage Redemption on IMDb TV. That's going to be a pretty good series. I'm going to stick with that. It's just as good as the original, even though Timothy Hutton's not on this one anymore.
No, gosh.
No, Wiley took over for him. And they killed him off, too, so he can't come back.
Who can't come back?
Timothy Hutton, his character.
Okay.
Started watching the history of the sitcom, that new documentary series from CNN. That's good. It's going to be on every Sunday for like next 6 weeks. And as part of Shark Week, I watched Shark Trek.
What the fuck?
Took that Josh Gates dude. And they put him and Bill Shatner in like a shark cage underwater. And
I saw Shatner tweeting about it. I haven't watched it.
Had him fuck with sharks. So it's pretty good.
Gates will do anything.
Yeah.
That dude has been done more weird stuff on TV than anybody. Nice. I mean, great host and entertainer though. I mean,
he was cool doing some fun Star Trek puns and shit, and Shatner was not having any of it.
That shit.
The name of the big yacht that they went on was the Enterprise. And he was like, "Look, Bill, the Enterprise," and Shatner goes, "They rent boats and cars." Like, you wouldn't acknowledge that it was, you know, the Enterprise of Star Trek. And I watched Joe and Sal the $100,000 Pyramid. That episode that aired last week from Impractical Jokers. They had a rematch where they, because they came on like a year ago and did it, and Joe won both his rounds and went to the $100,000 Pyramid both times, and this time Sal won both of his and went both times.
Cool.
And my stat pick is, I didn't get a chance to watch this. I was going to try and watch it before we talked tonight to see if it was any good, but it just came out on Netflix today, called Gunpowder Milkshake. It's Karen Gillan, Carla Gugino, Michelle Yao, Angela Bassett, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I want to see that.
They're saying it's kind of like Kill Bill.
Yeah, it looks good.
Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't seen a trailer for it. I guess I'll check
it out. It just came out today, so I imagine it'll probably be in the recommendation when you pull up Netflix.
Okay, awesome. I watched I Think You Should Leave season 2, then rewatched season 1. That show is so fucking funny. And on your recommendation, Jeff and Steph, way, way longer than it should have taken. I started watching The Detroiters, which sucked me in, and I watched the entire first season, I think, in one night. At least 2 days, and then I started season 2. What a great fucking show that is. It's very funny, very well done.
I can't remember season 1. Does that have the Jefferson Porger when he does the suits? Was that in season 1?
Oh, yes, yes.
And Sam's in all those fancy suits with the hats and all that jazz.
Yes, I but the whole cast is fantastic. Sam Richardson, Tim Robinson, Leilani Ledesma, Pat Van Harris, who plays Sheila, the old lady that works there. I love Adrian Belew, who is Tommy Pencils. It's just ridiculous. Jason Sudeikis, everybody on that show is perfectly cast, and it's a very funny show. So thank you guys for keeping on me to watch it.
Maybe if you would have watched it when it was on, it wouldn't have got fucking canceled, you douche.
That's not my fault. Alone, I'm all caught up. Wife and I are watching Below Deck Med. It's fun trash TV to watch. Except all the rich white people on there are assholes to the crew and staff, and they're, you know, they're typical stuck up jerks. This most recent episode features Roy Orbison Jr., who's returning for a yacht charter, and he's not a douchebag. Caught up on Evil.
If they ever do Below Deck Capsized and Dead, let me know, and
I will. You know, they ought to mash up Alone and Below Deck.
Steph, you probably would have liked that show that I was calling Below Zero Deck, where that crazy captain took his crew through the Arctic Circle or Northwest Passage. It was on Discovery Channel a while ago, but that was like a cross between Below Deck Med and like a survival show like you would like. I forget what that was called.
Northwest Passage, I don't know.
No, but the captain was like a Matt Berry character.
I haven't heard of that. Send us a link.
Yeah, I talked about it back when it was on. I'll find it and post a link.
I tried to watch How to Become a Tyrant on Netflix, which is narrated by Peter Dinklage. It's all about dictators and other kind of power. It is super snarky millennial crap. I can't watch it. It's like BuzzFeed made his documentary. It's terrible. And you know, they tried and it's slick and all that, but it's too like, oh my God, Hitler's mustache. What's up with that? Okay, shut the fuck up, you know. Okay, anyway, and I listened to a couple of great podcasts too that I've always mentioned, or that I'm always mentioning on this show, but I'm finally getting back into, because you know, I've been busy. Talking Sopranos, the latest guest, they're on season 6 now, and they talk about episode 2, which is after Tony gets shot by Uncle Junior. He's in the hospital and he's having that dream that he's Kevin Finnerty and he's at whatever, he can't find his wallet or whatever. But Ricky Gervais is a super fan of the show, and he spends the first 20 minutes, half hour, talking to Michael Imperioli and Stephen Chirippa. It's a really good episode. Ricky Gervais is funny. They interview him and, you know, it goes the way you think it would go. Gabe Kaplan was on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. Did you listen to that, Jeff?
I haven't listened to that one yet, but he was great on What the Fuck a while ago, yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Did he tell the story on WTF about working for Jack Ruby?
No.
Yeah, they get into that. He worked for Jack Ruby. I won't spoil the story because it's funny, but he was at that strip club in Texas that Jack Ruby owned.
Wow.
And he did stand up there, and it's a funny story, among others. I mean, there's tons of great stuff about Welcome Back, Kotter, about his, I mean, and nowhere near enough. I mean, this episode easily could have been 4 hours, but that's how it usually goes with those guys. So yeah, I don't have a staff pick, so that's it. So yeah, that's what we watched and what we want you to watch and what we want to watch in the future. Steph.
Yes, Barkville Dog Rescue. We got this Race for Their Lives thing happening in September 18th, 2021. I'll post the link for it if you want to register and walk with us. But we're mostly looking for business sponsorships. I'll put the PDF up. If you're a business and you want to get your name out there and you want to do something nice, you can give us some money. We'll put your logo on a t-shirt. Well, everybody will think that you're, you know, worth a shit and you're altruistic and all that crap. So that would be cool. Yeah, if you can donate, if you can adopt, if you can foster, if nothing else, if you can just spread the word, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Thank you, Steph. Guys, if you want to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member or a sponsor, all the information is at Radio Labyrinth Patreon page, which is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth. We are we have two Instagram accounts. One of them is at Radio Labyrinth. The other one is
Radio Labyrinth Presents.
Yes. Please remember to like us and follow us and all that jazz on and subscribe. I mean, on the YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast. What? Oh, yeah. Don't do that. We're on Facebook, too. And we also have the Facebook super secret group that Dustin maintains. And that is known as the Radio Shack. We love all of you guys who listen and support us. We have some great fans. Going to service you a little bit better. Jeff will be doing that for you. If you have any rashes or you know, things that need to be addressed, just give Jeff a call.
Pop that top off, I'll be right over.
But in the meantime we were doing a poll about what we should watch next. So we want to do maybe Midnight Run, maybe something else. We talked to our old co-host Ira, who might be jumping on with us, but go there, check that out, give us some suggestions, and we'll be doing that as well. So until next time, thanks again to Dave Wills, and he's still real to us, damn it. Please remember to keep it canon. Right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Days to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016, and Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll, and then he gave it to me, and I think and I can't wait to scare my child with it. Okay. Our, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at the division. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS, and he had it, you know, put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ, Spit of the Hits, for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey has been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
Patreon.com/TimAndrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.